Second Chronicles, chapter 27, verse 1, if you find the place. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and in the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forests he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham, and all his wars, and his ways, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Amen. We know the Lord will stamp with his own approval and blessing this reading of his own precious and infallible word. Now, my text this morning is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 27 and the verse 2 and the verse 6. The text reads as follows. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Verse 6, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now, I've entitled this morning's message, A Portrait of the Jotham Principle. Now, Jotham was the 11th king of Judah in succession. He was the son of King Uzziah. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok the priest. Now, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. That means he was 41 when he died. And he died a good, faithful and wise king. Now, the strange thing is this. The odd thing is this. There's not much said about King Jotham in the Bible. There's only 18 verses in total. In 2 Chronicles chapter 27 that we read, you have 9 verses that sum up his days on earth. In addition, we have the record of 2 Kings 15 verses 32 to 38. There you have another 8 verses. Add them together, 9 and 8, you get 17. That sums up his earthly life according to the Old Testament scriptures. And there's one verse in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 9, which ties into the record of the genealogy of Joseph in relation to the birth of Christ. So 18 verses in total about this man, Jotham. And yet, what is said about him is very important. What is said about him is highly significant. Look at verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. There's a powerful verse. Look at verse 6. So Jotham became mighty. We can ask why. Because, there's the answer, he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Because Jotham did what was right before the Lord his God, so much so that he became a mighty man of God. And the Bible records that this man, and I'm going to prove it to you, was a faithful Old Testament believer. That's the first thing you can learn about his life. He was also a good and wise, faithful builder in his days. He rebuilt the upper gate of the temple. He also did work on the wall at Ophel. And according to chapter 27, verse 4, moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He was also a faithful battler for God. Listen to verse 5. He fought also with the king of the Amorites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him, both the second year and the third year. So picture him during his reign. He is ruling over the Ammonites, so much so that they're paying taxes to him for 3 straight years. During his reign, he enjoyed the prophetic ministry of men like Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah is known as the evangelical prophet. He also enjoyed the ministry of the prophet Hosea and the prophet Micah. And you can read about this here in Isaiah 1, verse 1, Hosea 1, verse 1, Micah 1, and verse 1. So here we have a faithful, wise, good Old Testament believer. He believes in God. He's of God. He's a faithful builder for God. And he's also a faithful battler for the cause of truth and righteousness. Now here's the summary of his life. And it's summed up in these words. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. I want you to think of King Jotham walking steadfastly, carefully, exemplary, and decidedly before the Lord as God. It's very sad that his son Ahaz didn't follow in his footsteps, a young man who grew up also in a godly home, saved father and mother. His mother was the daughter of Zadok the priest. And yet he grew up to be a notoriously wicked king. So much so that he refused the preaching of Isaiah. Do you know that Ahaz rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? He rejected the doctrine of his incarnation and virgin birth. You can read about it. I can't preach it this morning. In Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to verse 14, this young man died as he lived. He went to hell, suffering the wrath of God to this day. When King Jotham died, he went straight to heaven. He heard the well done, good and faithful servant of the Lord. Now it's wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit has left us with the highest commendation ever of King Jotham. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Very few kings that could be said of. There's very few in the Bible. There's very few in history. The Bible exhorts us to fear God, to honor the king, to love the brotherhood. And you know the order's cracked there. You see, it's God first. It's a God-centered life. And then, because you live a God-centered life, you have respect for those that have the rule over you. However, let me say this morning, when the king lives and acts contrary to the word of God and the God of the Bible, or any lesser magistrate or prince under him acts contrary to the word of God, then we have a right to protest. We have a right to disobey, because we continue to obey and live by the law of God. And Jotham was such a godly king. The people were glad to have him in honor. It was a pleasure and joy to live under such a king. Now let's ask this morning, what can we learn from this brief account of the reign of this godly monarch on the throne of Israel? It's wonderful that there's nothing said in the biblical record of King Jotham's story of any negativity. There's no record of an act of disobedience. No record of a period of rebellion. No display of an act of folly. There's none of the arrogance, none of the pride that was found later in his father as an old man. And if you're an old man, I'll give you a prayer. Pray this: Lord, don't let me grow up to be a cruel old man, because old men can become cruel. There's nothing regrettable said about him. Here we have a very positive, powerful statement. Jotham became mighty. Why? Because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now I have three things this morning. I want you to think, first of all, of the conversion of Jotham. Look at verse 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Underline the words, the Lord his God. You see, young people, Jotham grew up in a godly home, by and large. He had a saved father. He had a saved mother. They loved the Lord. Now, they weren't perfect. It was not a perfect home. It was not without its faults and its failures. Because remember, the godliest man and the godliest woman were still sinners by nature and practice. And we still sin against the Lord, even in our holiest moment of thought and word and deed. Yet for the large part, this was a godly home. This was a good home with parents that feared the Lord, with parents that had the love of God in their heart. They were Old Testament believers. So Jotham had this wonderful privilege of being born into such a home. And I believe in his early years, he learned about the Lord. The word Lord here, if you look at the text, it says Lord, L-O-R-D. It's in capital letters. That's a reference to Jehovah, the God of the covenant. And I have no doubt he was urged to come to know the Lord, his God, by himself. And we're introduced to him at what age? 25 years of age. Look at verse 1. So Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. We read again in verse 8. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. That's emphasized in the book. I want you to take note of that. 25 years of age. He's a young man in the prime of life. And yet this young man, he has come to the throne. And he comes to the throne with a personal testimony of being a believer as well. The Lord, his God. He's in a personal relationship with the Lord. The Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Again, it's in capital letters. You see, this young man, 25 years of age, he loved the Lord too. And I ask you this morning, do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That this young man listened to the Lord. He heard and received the witness of the Word of God. He read the book. He studied the Scriptures. He meditated on the truth. And it's important that we live by the book. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And every word is pure. I believe in the verbal and the plenary inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that's very important that you grasp that, because God has given his word. This is a God-breathed book. God breathed his word. Was written down by inspiration. I'll tell you something else. He learned the ways of the Lord. The Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He had to learn the ways. It says he prepared his ways before the Lord, his God. All that God required of him, how to live out the Christian life in the home, how to walk with God and say no to sin, how to behave in the house of God, how to behave as a king on the throne. He learned the ways of the Lord. I'll tell you something else. I believe, no doubt, he leaned on the Lord for help, strength, and wisdom. This man lived his life under the watchful eye of the Lord. The Bible says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So here's the gauge of Jotham's life. His life was right because his heart was right. And over there in the book of Ezekiel, we read this. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. This young man at 25 years of age had a new heart. And there's no life with God until the heart is changed by God. And Jotham, I believe, has received regenerating power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was at work in his heart and life. He's a believer, an Old Testament believer. He's been converted. He knows the reality of John 3:7. You must be born again. And you see, this young man couldn't see nor understand anything about the kingdom of God until and unless he was born again. And he had no spiritual power to love God and to listen to him and to learn from him and lean on him without spiritual life. You see, you cannot live for God. You cannot love the Lord. You can't do what's right until you're born again, until you're in a vital, vibrant, visible relationship with the Lord. I press it home this morning. Do you have such a testimony as a young man or a young woman? Are you like Jotham in the prime of life, just under 25 or slightly older? You've been brought up in the privilege of a Christian home. You know all that that means about mum and dad striving to live out a godly Christian life before you. I ask the question, are you born again? Are you genuinely converted? Have you got a new heart? You see, we're told today that love is a very important principle, and it is. And people want to love men and say we should love all men equally without fear or favor. But I want to tell you this morning, love to God comes first. And if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, yes, you'll love your neighbor as you love yourself. But I'll tell you, you won't love sin, and you won't love wickedness. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. So there's the first thing, the conversion of Jotham. The second thing I want you to learn this morning is this, the characteristic of Jotham. Notice it says in verse 6, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now, what does that mean? Notice the word before. I'll underline that. Very important word. And then link it up with verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You see, the word before means before the face of God. He was taking knowledge of God. And in the sight of the Lord means in the eyes of the Lord. So picture this young man now, in the prime of his life. He's only 25. He's in a relationship with the Lord, and yet he's conscious of God. He's got a sight of his holiness. He's got a sight of the fear of the Lord. He's got a sight of his love. He's got a sight of his wrath. He's got a sight of his justice. He's a man of the book. Psalm 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I believe he's a man who said no to sin. I believe he's a man of prayer. I believe he's a man who sought to know the Lord. You see, the word sight is a reference to the eyes. He lived his life under the watchful eye of the Lord. He lived his life before the face of God. All that he did as a believer, all his building work, all his battling for God, he did with a consciousness of the Lord's presence. That the eyes of the Lord was constantly upon him, watching over him. Can you picture him rising up in the morning? Can you picture him lying down at night to go to sleep? Can you picture him going out from the palace, coming back in the whole of his life? And we're only given a little glimpse. 25 he started. He reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. He died when he was 41. But all of his conversation, all of his conduct, all of his company, anything that he did was done under the gaze of the Almighty. See, Jotham could say with Hagar, "Thou God seest me." Can you say that this morning? His ways were right. That's what the Bible says. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. His days were respectful because he did it before the face of the Lord. He did it under the eyes of God. And his ways were recorded. 18 verses in the book. And what's he saying? My Father watches over me. He orders my steps. He ordains them. See, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. And I believe this morning, folks, that that should be the aim and goal of every true believer in Christ. The chief characteristic of our lives should be to prepare our ways before the Lord. Are you so conscious that you live under the watchful eye of the Lord? You see, I emphasize that because I fear that many have no sense of this. I believe many have lost a sense of this. I believe that many, let's be very blunt this morning, and I love you in the morn, in the Lord, but many Free Presbyterians don't live like this. And that's why there's slackness. And that's why there's carelessness. And that's why there's worldliness. And that's why there's sin and failure in all our lives. We're not conscious of the Lord's presence. We're not living under his watchful eye. We're not living before his face. You see, if Dr. Douglas was here, he'd be commending me. He'd be saying, "Well done, David, you've paid a bit of attention to my class." See, in the Hebrew Bible, when it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 2, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord," the definite article is employed. It reads, "And he did that which was the right in the sight of the Lord." You see, Jotham had the right testimony. He could testify to the saving and keeping power of the Lord. He can remember the day. He can recall the time that the Lord came by and called me, Jotham. I want you to repent. You need to believe and put your faith and trust in me. What about the right time? As I've said, 16 years are recorded. This young man made good use of his time on earth. He lived for the Lord. He redeemed the time. He knew the days were evil. To him, minutes were precious. To him, the seconds were like gold and silver. He lived under the eye of God. He lived to see and hear the well done of God. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that's how you should live in the home. That's how you should live in the school. That's how you should live in the university, in the workplace. Here he is in the palace. The right in relation to time. What about the right in relation to his talent? He used the gifts that God had given him for the Lord and for his glory. For the Lord's honor. He was a builder and battler for God. If you want a summary of his life, young people, because you'll forget most of what I say, you think of this man called Jotham as a believer, a builder and a battler for God. That's very simple. And all of us have one gift that we can use for the Lord. God is the giver of those gifts. Here's a good, wise, godly, faithful king on the throne. A king who loves the Lord. A king who listens to the Lord. A king who learns from the Lord. A king who leans on the Lord. Now think of the days that he faced. What about days of trial and trouble? What about facing hard decisions? What about the big and small decisions of life? What about when life throws you a curveball and something unexpected happens and you're taken unawares? What do you do then? You see, did Jotham know such times? The answer is yes. Notice what it says in the text. "Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord," I'll explain that later, "and the people did yet corruptly." You see, when life threw this young man a curveball, he turned to the Lord. And if life's throwing you and more in Free Presbyterian Church a curveball, and you're under pressure, and you've got loads of problems, and you're in distress, and you're maybe at wit's end corner, don't know what to do, here's my advice. Here's the word of God. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. Turn to the Lord. Trust in him. Tell him. but always take the step to do what's right before the Lord. Even if family and friends do wrong, even if family and friends sin in certain areas of life, you can't defend that. You can't justify that. Right is right, isn't it? Wrong is wrong. At all times, even in times of trials of life, aim to please the Lord. Aim to honor Him. Don't blame Him for those trials. Turn to Him. Talk to Him. Trust Him. Notice the word prepared here. It says, because He prepared His ways before the Lord. The word prepared means to make it ready, like the children make the dinner ready, or the dinner's ready when you go home, prepared. It also can mean to establish something, to fix it in place. And you see, His was a conscious, deliberate action on His part. There has to be the idea here of personal preparation. You see, so Jotham prepared his ways. It was intentional. I put it to you that it was arranged in his heart and mind. It was thought out. It wasn't accidental. It didn't just live as if it come by him for a moment. His life was carefully, intensely prepared, carefully set in order beforehand. His convictions were subtly established. They were permanently fixed in his heart and mind. He was so committed that he would not be shaken from it. He would not be shaken by changing circumstances. He would not be shaken by the unfaithfulness of others, even though the people did corruptly. The Hebrew word ways is used as a figure of speech, thinking of a path. We could talk about the path of Jotham. You see, the figure for Jotham was personal course of action in his life. It was the habit of his life, careful planning. There was a staying true to his convictions. All the various specific areas of life. Now, all this careful preparation and planning wasn't done in his own strength or power by his wisdom. He didn't look around to the values of the culture of the day in order to establish his lifestyle. He didn't look within for inner strength and help. It was all done before the Lord. It was all done with the help of the Lord. It was all done by the grace of God. He sought to live in full view of the Lord, before whom we must all give an account. He took the initiative to prepare his ways. He made the decision by the grace of God. No one else did it for him. He took upon himself that responsibility to make his own principle for life. And I urge you young people, I urge the boys and girls, I urge all of you this morning, like myself, let's make that a principle for life, that we're intentionally and deliberately and carefully going to prepare our ways before the Lord. Remember what we read in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, that's our former state, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Redeeming the time, it says in verse 16, because the days are evil. The advice is, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, you have to make the choice. You have to make the personal choice. You have to be circumvent in making that choice. You have to be careful. Careful in the places that we go. Careful in the people that we accompany. Let's not walk in the way of sinners. Let's not stand in the seat of the scornful. I want you to think lastly of the course of Jotham. You see, there's a cause and effect here. So Jotham became mighty. That's the cause. Here's the effect. Because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. There's a cause and effect in the relationship between the way he was made mighty and the way that he lived. I want you to notice something. He carefully watched what happened to his father. You see, Uzziah, his father, was a good king. We can read about him here in 2 Chronicles 26 and verses 15 and 16. it says, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be in the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. You see, in his pride, Uzziah went into the temple of the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with going into the temple. But he went into the temple, into the very place where only the priests were permitted to go to offer and burn the incense. And because of that sin, he was struck with leprosy. And he lived in a leper's house outside the palace. And he died in a miserable state. Jotham no doubt watched his father coming out of the temple, struck with leprosy. Watched his father for 2 years struggle with the leprosy. And he vowed before the Lord that he would not do that. He would not displease the Lord. He would not enter into the temple, into the very place appointed for the priest, the way his father did. You see, he learned from the errors of others. He learned from the pitfall of his dad. He not only learned from his dad, but he also learned from the crowd. Look at, we read in verse 2. It says, and the people did yet corruptly. Now think of that. Think of what that means. The people of his day, his subjects, those that were under him, they acted and behaved wickedly before the face of God. Remember, he was a godly monarch. They were godless men and women. He stood apart. As king, he didn't lower the standard. I believe it was dark and difficult for Jotham. Life was not easy. Why? Because the people were corrupt. Now, that means they abounded in wickedness and immorality. We're living in days with the breakdown of society, days of violence, days of immorality, days of drunkenness, drug addiction, abortion in demand here in Northern Ireland, murder on our streets. We've lived with it for 40, 50 years. Life is no longer sacred. There's no remorse when life is taken. Conscience seems to be seared. Even our hospitals have become citadels of murder for the unborn. They're thrown away, disregarded like paper. The government, our government, has a left-wing liberal voice. They're advocates of homosexuality, advocates of same-sex marriage, advocates of LGBT community. And coupled with all that, we have got lying and stealing and oath-breaking. And you see, there's no seeking after the Lord. There's no doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. They're not preparing their ways before his face. He is not the Lord their God. And this is a lifestyle choice. This is the course that they have adopted. This is the course that they have brought about for themselves. And of course, by doing so, they condemn themselves. Do you know that in Genesis 6, verse 11, the Bible says, and here's the first word, first reference to the word corrupted. It says, the earth also was corrupt before God. Same word, before God, in the face of God. And the earth was filled with violence. So it's nothing new. Before his eyes, the people made a lifestyle choice. Here was their conduct. Life without God. And judgment was coming. And yet this man, he was concerned to do the right thing. Do you know the Bible exhorts young people over there in Ephesians chapter 4? If we think of these words in verse 29, it says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. We could do a Bible study on the word corrupt, only haven't time this morning. Do you know that in the book of 2 Corinthians, if I turn to it here, 2 Corinthians, in chapter 2, it says in verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Think of that. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You see, in Paul's day, there was human interference and human tampering with the word of God. They were changing the words. They were dropping out verses. They were watering it down. And isn't that what's happening in our day? Hasn't there been a watering down and a changing of the Word of God in these raft of modern versions? I'm glad you're having the Trinitarian Bible Society to come and speak to you about this. You see, these modern versions are all produced to make money. That's what's behind it. And they're changed because of the copyright laws. And it doesn't need to be changed because God's Word is pure. Every word of God is pure. In fact, the Word is precious and the Word is powerful. Someone has rightly said, and I tweeted this to the ministers or sent out a text, a corrupt Bible is a sign of corrupt church and it affects the witness of God. It affects the work of God. It affects the worship of God. It affects the child of God and their walk with God. Corruption of the book, a very, very serious matter. And I urge you to stick to the old book. You see, this young man, here was his course. He carefully watched his father. He carefully watched the crowd. And he was determined to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. He only followed his father insofar as his father followed the Lord. The Bible says he didn't go into the temple. That means in the way his father did. He didn't want to repeat the sin. This young man said no to sin. This young man said no to the devil. This young man said no to wrong company. This young man said no to the ways of the world. Jotham refused to follow his father in the thing that was wrong. His father did it. He was responsible for it. But this young man was saying, I refuse to do it. Is not a test of great loyalty? Is not a sight to behold that the king put the Lord first before his family, before his friends? And we should do the same. And if a family member or a friend or even the minister or an elder is out of order and they're not putting the Lord first and they attempt to justify their actions and want to try and spend some sort of clarity on it without saying it's wrong, then we have to say, well, right is right and wrong is wrong. Don't be shaken. No matter who's pressurizing you, no matter the peer pressure that comes upon you, live your life as a Christian. Do it in the sight of the Lord before his eyes, before his face. You live the life of a Christian in the house of God in the eyes of the Lord and before his face. That's the portrait of the Jotham principle. The conversion he was assured of. The characterization that he was swayed by. And the course that he adopted. He did that was right in the sight of the Lord. I say to every one of us, make sure you're converted. Let this characteristic principle be your principle. Make it your own by intention. And adopt this course, no matter what the crowd does, no matter what a family member does, don't do the same. Do what's right in the sight of the Lord.